I'm Ryan, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ryan.
Oh, thanks guys, I really appreciate you guys sharing. Let's see, I'm kind of like in between both of you guys, it's really weird. I didn't have a hard childhood, I didn't have an easy one, it was just, I guess, kind of normal, I guess. I was born in Austin, Texas, January 1st, 1993, to my dad, Todd, and my mom, Jennifer, and I feel like I came from a very loving family. I never grew up really wanting anything. I was always provided for. I did not escape childhood unharmed. My parents did get divorced when I was 8, and I have been emotionally, physically, and sexually abused in my history. And all these things, everything that's ever happened in my childhood, didn't make me an alcoholic. None of these things ever made me an alcoholic. I did very well in school. I don't really know how. I missed a lot. I was suspended for, I think, almost a full year, my junior year. But I graduated with like 3-3 honors. And I really don't want to spend too long on drinking and using, because I think it's a very small, unimportant part of how my life looks today. The only reason I bring it up is because to help you guys identify with my powerlessness to actually, prove that I'm an alcoholic. I don't really know. I did start drinking and using at a young age. I think I was 12, 13, somewhere in that. And, kind of like Gibson, I did it because I wanted to fit in. I did it because I don't really know. I just didn't like the way I felt. Plain and simple. Alcohol and drugs have always changed my feeling. And, for a long time, it was fun. It was fun. I'm not gonna lie. I had a blast out there drinking and using. I smoked a lot of pot. I drank a lot, and I was the guy who was always at parties, always trying to be the life of the party. And I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 17. I went to a treatment center. Didn't think I had a problem. It was actually the last day of my sophomore year. My parents wouldn't trust me with a car. I don't know why. And so my mom was driving me to school. I felt like freaking lame. I got high before I went to school. It was like yearbook signing day or something, like the most bullshit day of the year. And so I'm on my way to school. I'm thinking, okay, I got like 2 hours of this, and I can come home. I can get high. I can eat a bag of Doritos, and I can go to sleep. And I'm on my way there, and like every day, I pass out in the car, and the car ride seems to take just a little bit longer than normal, and wake up like a half hour later, like, where are we going? Like, school's only 15 minutes away. Where am I going? She's like, oh, me, you, and your dad just need to sort some things out. Cool. You guys really got to listen to what I have to say. You guys really got to get a piece of my mind. And we get there, and like, I should have known, walking into two locked doors, there's a big armed security guard, and like, I get into this room, they call it the fish tank because it's surrounded by glass, and I'm starting to meet all these people, and like all of a sudden my high's wearing off, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm not leaving here, am I? And they're like, no, you're gonna stay here for just a little while. And a lot of my story is like playing the part until you get off my back so I can do what I do. That's just been my history. I will tell you whatever the hell you want to hear till you get off my back, leave me alone, and I can go get drunk, I can go get high, I can just not feel the way I want, I'm feeling in the moment. And so I played my way through my treatment center. I think it took about a total of 3 months inpatient, 3 months outpatient, and I got out. The girlfriend I was with actually was with my best friend. Heartbreaking. I was like, okay, well, I'm done with the hard stuff. I'm just gonna smoke pot and drink because I love pot. And I did that for a while, and it came time, like, for me, it was always like consequences. Like, I always had consequences in my life, and I always just kind of avoided them, or didn't really think they would ever happen, or didn't think my parents had the balls to actually carry them out. And I just turned 18. I'm getting back with the girlfriend that was actually with my best friend at the time. And I'm smoking weed in my parents' basement, and my mom's like, okay, well, you have a choice. You can either stop smoking weed or you can leave. I'm like, well, duh, I'm going to leave because there's no way I'm going to stop smoking weed. And all my friends are poor because they all buy drugs for me. And, like, I didn't want to live alone because that just sounded preposterous. Like, I never wanted to live alone. And so I did the next best thing, and I moved in with a girl that I'd been dating for 5 months and had cheated on me before. And I thought it was going to be great. I was going to just be one happy, joyous life, and I was going to be fine. And then very quickly I was introduced into some harder substances, and within a year and a half I hit my bottom. In that year and a half, I remember trying to get sober and not being able to. I remember going into detoxes, looking my parents in the face, saying, I want to stop, but I can't. And I know you guys want to help me, but I can't do it right now. And having my parents cry and saying, please just stay. And me saying, you know, I just can't do it right now. I got to go. And then doing the same thing like a week later. And it came to the point in my parents' life, and I don't blame them at all, that, you know, they just stopped talking to me. And in no way, shape, or form do I feel bad about that. You know, my parents did what they did because they thought it was going to be best for me. My parents have always done their best in their life for me. And after that, you know, I'm borderline homeless. I'm getting kicked out of my apartment. I'm with a girl that, man, I really don't even like, but I really don't want to be alone, so I'm going to stay with her. And I end up getting engaged with her and moving in with her mom, and it only took a couple more months of pain for me to get to a point where drugs just stopped working. I remember it was just another normal day. I just screwed over another friend, nothing new. I had basically pushed everyone out of my life except for this girl that I hated, but I was gonna stay with her because she was the only one that understood me. And but I have enough drugs. I have enough to get me loaded for at least a day, which is all I ever really wanted, was just to stay away from my problems for at least a day. And I remember getting loaded, and everything just kind of hit me. And I don't know what happened, but the only logical explanation is that drugs just stopped working. And in the middle of getting loaded, I felt shame, I felt guilt, I felt hopeless, I felt just alone. And I felt two options, either do something different or kill myself. And I've always been too big of a pussy to kill myself. So I decided to do something different. I mean, it was the same thing that I've always done. I asked my parents for help. But I decided to actually honestly give it a try. And I call my dad, and I'm packing up my crap, and the girl's, where are you going? Well, I'm just going out. Why are you going out? We got enough to stay high for at least a couple hours. And I said, you know, I'm going to get help, and you should too. And to kind of just cut it short, you know, the cops end up coming. I think my life's going to be over before it even starts. And, like, I'm having this huge panic attack, and my first God moment kind of happens, and lo and behold, I didn't go to jail. And the next day, I'm on my way down to St. George, and this is February 26th of 2012, which is my sobriety date. And I started an adventure that I never thought possible, and I never thought was going to be this much fun, and I definitely never thought it would get me here. I learned very quickly that I wasn't going to be able to be with the girl that I was with, and probably one of the hardest things I've done is breaking it off with someone that I thought was the only person that ever understood me. And at a month sober, I did that, and I'm still so grateful to this day for the people that I had around me, none of which are sober, but in that moment they saved my life. And that's why I can honestly sit here and I can say that time is irrelevant. I don't really care how much time you have. If you're in this program, you've touched my life in some way. And if I'm to go out and die or whatever, you know, I know I've touched people's lives as well. And that domino effect can never be reversed. Okay. When I got out of treatment, I decided to stay in St. George, and in doing so, guess, changed my life for the best. Very quickly, you know, I heard suggestions, get a sponsor, work the steps, and dive right into the middle of the herd. And for a sponsor, all I wanted was to be happy. That's all I wanted my whole life. I just want to be happy. I want to be okay with myself. And I just wanted some contentment in my life. And so I chose the happiest dude I've ever met in my life, who's probably today one of my best friends, and created a relationship that I've never known with another man. You know, I found how to be intimate with another man, not physically or anything like that, but just being able to open up my experience and actually be able to talk to another man, it was different. And it's crazy, I actually just did the math. We have 5 generations of sponsees and sponsors here, just in my line alone, which is crazy. I never thought anyone would ever want to listen to what I have to say, and today people do. And as I'm going through my steps, I didn't want to take my time. I wanted to get them done because I wanted the relief. I saw that it worked for other people, and I decided if it works for other people, it's going to work for me. So that was kind of my faith, you know. I had faith in the program, and I very quickly worked my steps, and I found all the promises. And by 9 months, I had sponsored my first dude. I think I've sponsored 9 people in my history, and none of them stayed sober, except for me. And that's why the 12th step is a step. It's not to get other people sober. It's so I can stay sober. And that's why I continue to do service. That's why I continue to go to meetings. That's why I continue to call my sponsors, because this shit I found has worked. And I'm not going to change something that I know works for me. I'm not going to say like Lala that everything is perfect. That whole my worst day sober is better than my best day drunk, I don't believe in that. I had a lot of good days drunk, like a lot of good days drunk. And I've had some pretty shitty days sober. But I would never trade it. I would never trade my shittiest day sober for my best day drunk, because I'm not willing to sacrifice a nickel for a quarter tomorrow. And it's a strange feeling that I never thought I would find, where I can walk around and no matter what's going on in my life, whether it be I lose a job, whether it be I lose a girlfriend, whether it be a death in the family, like things that suck, things that no matter if you're an alcoholic or just a human being, like they suck. And being able to walk around and know everything's gonna be all right. It's nothing I can show you. It's just something you have to go out and you have to find for yourself. And that's probably the greatest gift that I have today, that no matter what's going on, I'm gonna be okay. And I appreciate everyone being here. Thanks.